for 11 years in a row. Ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
Come on into my house, y'all. Happy to see you here. Come on in. At Rosie's house, we're always COVID-free. We're politics-free. We're campaign-free. We're worry-free. We're anxiety-free. The only thing contagious in my house are smiles and courage. So come on in. Love to have you. You can join the conversation by dialing 1-888-767-4348. We have an auto attendant that will pick up. When you hear the audio attendant pick up, just simply push one. And that will forward you straight into the call screening booth where my wife, sweet Jennifer, will pick up your call, get your name, your question, and where in the great state of Arizona you're calling from, and we'll put our 45 years of building and remodeling experience to work for you, talking about your favorite subject, you and your home. That's what we do here at Rosie on the House. I'm here this morning. Romy is on a little road trip, picking up a horse and a daughter in California.
In no particular order.
One horse, one daughter. And I've got Bruce Stumbo, our project manager from Rosie on the House Remodeling, here in studio with me this morning. And we wanted to talk about what we're seeing by way of homeowners' demands and what they're thinking about doing. And our article on the newsletter this week is all about things to consider in gaining space in your existing home without growing the footprint. And Bruce, y'all just recently did one of these at your own house.
Yeah, we did. I have a garage that faces northwestish, and gosh, during the summertime, it's just unbearable in there. So we did one thing you've been talking about for a while, went out and picked up a little mini split air conditioner, heat pump actually, so I could heat the garage in the winter if I want to, but that's probably not going to be needed, but and gosh, it's getting that thing going. It's such a difference. Katie has just raved about being able to jump in her Explorer, back out, and it's cool already. There's no, you know, it's, you know, keeping the garage at about 80 degrees ish, 80 something degrees, depending on how hot it is.
Yeah.
And it's, and I like to tinker around in the garage, and before, that was just
unbearable.
So it's been great, and it really is it turns into a little extended space that I can actually use in the summer. So
and the kids, your two daughters.
Yep.
I mean, organized and stacked up and cleaned up right. I mean, it does become a place for parking the car.
Yep.
But you pull the car out, and it becomes another playroom.
Yeah, it really. We've had
school room, craft room.
The girls have one of those little hoverboards, and they like to use the garage here and there to go rolling around and
put their little exercise cones out.
Yeah,
do
a little road course in there.
Well, I think now, have you had it on long enough to see what it's done to your summer cooling bill?
Well, I haven't finished the insulation yet.
Okay,
I've got the garage door insulated, but as with many houses in Arizona, that attic wasn't insulated. So I've got to get our insulation contractor in there and get that insulated. So I don't have a good sense yet on what it's going to do, because it's basically having to run nonstop right now. So,
well, you're a better man than me. If I had a 10-year-old daughter, I'd never call the insulation contractor. I'd say, honey, this is how you do it. She's small enough, she can get in there and crawl in all the corners.
Yeah. For about 2 minutes, I thought about getting up there myself and throwing some bat insulation in, and then I quickly got over my temporary insanity and got it on my list to call a professional, because it's hot up there right now.
Well, I think we first, at Rosie Wright Remodeling, we first cooled garages in about the 90s. Hmm. And we were simply mounting evap coolers on the garages, taking the edge off.
Right.
You know? And it made the cars very happy, all the hoses and the belts and the tires. You know, you were living in about 40% humidity at about 80, 85 degrees. And, you know, that's so much nicer than, you know, 12-degree humidity at 120 degrees, you know. So we kind of caught on to that concept and started promoting it with all of our clients. Just think about it. And then my air conditioning contractor in the late 90s, early 2000s, started jumping up and down saying, Rosie, you got to quit telling people to put evap coolers on these garages and start air conditioning the garages. And boy, it took me about 8 years to get convinced. I thought, you know, there's a real cheap side of me that once I put that air conditioner in there and I cool that room to the temperature I want, and then you lift that garage door.
Yeah.
The amount of cold air, hot air exchange, it seemed like it would be a never-ending battle.
Yeah.
But when they put a mini split on my garage, my electric bill went, my summer electric bill went down. It cost less to air condition my garage with a mini split than it does to run a vap cooler 24 hours a day.
Yeah, they are very efficient. There's a number of reasons, but one very basic one is there's no ductwork. So you're not losing any of that cool air running through a bunch of ductwork up in your hot attic. It's just that refrigerant's going right to that head unit, that fan unit mounted on your wall. So ductless systems like that are just, they're just inherently more efficient. It's a great way to do it. I have caught myself, though, that garage door doesn't stay open very long right now for me.
No, not
necessarily because of the cost of it. It's because it can go from 80 degrees in there to about 96 degrees if you leave it open for more than a minute.
Yeah,
so.
It will. But I think if people would spend the money and the time to organize their garage, clear out the floor space, get it organized, even do an epoxy coating on the slab, which will keep everything so much cleaner.
Easy to clean up.
And then mount a mini split. It really becomes an overflow extra room for so many things.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with so many of us with kids at home right now.
Absolutely.
You know, that's one more spot that any arts and crafts and the glitter and the glue and all that sort of thing, you can keep it out from the inside of your house.
And a garage is going to be something in the neighborhood of 300 to 400 square feet. And when people call us at Rosie Wright Remodeling, and ask us what an addition is, I mean, we tell them, you know, without a bathroom or without a kitchen, we can add square footage to your home to match your home so it doesn't look like an addition, but you're going to be nothing under $250 a square foot. And many we do are twice that.
Yeah.
$400 and $500 a square foot.
People are typically shocked when they find out how much an addition, you know, it sounds so simple.
Yeah.
You know, pour a little concrete, throw up a little framing, put a little siding up, and bam, you got an addition. But per square foot, it's cheaper to build a brand new house on a dirt lot than it is.
Oh, per square foot, absolutely.
I mean, it's just, people are surprised generally. But there's a lot that goes into an addition. You're having to tie into existing sewer, existing air conditioning, or bring in another air conditioner.
Upgrade the plumbing, electric.
A lot of folks who are wanting to do this are because they're older homes.
That's right.
And we go to some of these, say a 60s, 50s home, especially 50s home. You walk around the backside of the house, and if I see that 1950 something, you know, Zinsco Federal Pacific panel, the first thing I have to tell people is we're going to have to upgrade that panel. We've already spent a chunk of your money and we haven't done anything fun yet. So
well, and then all the cities with their upgraded fire code,
yeah.
I mean, if your house isn't up to code, now any permit you pull, it used to be if you pulled an electric permit, they would make you upgrade your fire warning system. Now, and we got
even
caught.
Plumbing.
We got caught.
Yeah.
We pulled a plumbing permit.
We did. And luckily we noticed.
They wanted us to upgrade all the fire permits.
Pulled a minimum plumbing permit, just doing some basic work, changing out a shower in a client's home. And when we pulled it, we noticed right on the bottom a little line that said the house smoke detector and carbon monoxide system will be brought up to current new home construction standards.
And brought up to current.
Mm-hmm. So
it's pretty extensive.
It is, yeah. So in general, what you have to do is add a arc fault circuit breaker protected circuit. So now you've got to have enough space in your panel, and it's got to be new enough that we can fit an arc fault in there. And then those smoke detectors, the preferred thing is that they're all hardwired. So now our electrician is climbing around in the attic, running wire everywhere. Each bedroom has to have a smoke detector. The hallways outside the bedrooms, the smoke detector that's out there that you'll typically find in every house. But that one now has to be a combination carbon monoxide and smoke detector. And then somewhere near the entrance, if you have an attached garage, the closest most smoke detector to that has to also be a carbon monoxide. And we get a lot of people that say, well, I don't have natural gas. So if you have an attached garage, it doesn't matter. Now you have to have that carbon monoxide. And they're strict about it. It's not one of those things that an inspector is going to look the other way on now. Every municipality so far in the last 2 years that we've remodeled in, they're very serious about that. And it is a safety item.
They are very serious.
So we get it. It's just one of those things that, unfortunately, it's another one of those you got to spend some money on something that's not necessarily the fun part of a remodel.
One of the reasons we're quoting the kind of square foot prices we're quoting is because in that instance where we have to upgrade your electric panel and we have to upgrade the smoke and fire alarm, we've spent $3,000 to $5,000.
Yeah, at least.
And we haven't even started on what you want to get done. More on this topic of using the garage as great convertible space for you and your family when we get back right here at Rosie on the House.